This is Moment of Hope, brought to you by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm your host, Nigel Wilkinson. With me today is co-host Margaret Barnett. Margaret, what's our focus for today?
Good morning, Nigel. Thank you so much for being here with me this morning. Good morning, listeners. Today, we turn our attention to an issue that is deeply personal, yet profoundly important to our families, communities, and nation: suicide prevention. Grenada has taken some important steps in recent years to elevate mental health and wellness as matters of national concern. But alongside those developments, recent deaths by suicide remind us that policies and programs must ultimately reach people, especially people who may be struggling silently. Joining us today is Asha Mackay-Smith, a licensed clinical and community psychologist from the Spice Island of Grenada, who will help us to understand what is happening, what we should be looking for, and most importantly, what can we do. Welcome, and thank you so much, Asha, for being here.
Thank you, Dr. Barnett. It's a pleasure to share this moment with you.
Great. Grenada has taken the unusual and perhaps pioneering step of establishing a ministry dedicated specifically to mental health, wellness, and religious affairs. What does bringing mental health, wellness, and faith under one national portfolio say about Grenada and how it understands suicide prevention and the mental well-being of its people?
So I think it sends an important message, and it really says that mental health is no longer just for our professionals, but it's also for national development, and it serves and it needs national attention. So bringing mental health, wellness, and religious affairs together potentially recognizes human well-being is multidimensional, meaning that the whole and flourishing human life is not reduced to any single aspect of human experience. And well-being is not just about the absence of problems, but we are all physical, we are also emotional, we are also intellectual, we are also social, and for most persons, spiritually, we are also spiritual beings. And each of these aspects, it contributes to our overall quality of life. So therefore, we need to balance all of these aspects of our life.
So would you say, Asha, that one of the strengths of this model is that the mental health becomes everybody's business, rather than something that belongs only to psychiatrists, psychologists, or hospitals?
Absolutely. Mental health is everybody's business, right? Let's take, for example, suicide. Now, suicide prevention cannot reside only in a mental health clinic, because we know for sure that not everybody will be able to see a psychologist or a counselor, but they are relating to persons everyday in life, the person you work with, right, or teachers or pastors. So the question becomes, therefore, can the people and institutions around the individual recognize distress and know what to do next?
All right. So that takes us to a very important question. What are the realities on the ground? Grenada recorded 10 deaths by suicide in 2025. And 5 deaths have already been reported during the first 5 months of 2026. When you hear figures like these, what do they tell you as a mental health professional?
So the first thing I would say that it's for every life lost by suicide, it's not just a life, it's a human being, and it's important to everyone. And because of that, there is a ripple effect that happens when we lose one person this way. And it does not only affect the family of the person who has died, but also their friends, their colleagues, and even by extension, the entire community, right? Because even though it's a small population, even a modest number of deaths can have a significant community impact, and not just short-term, but even long-term.
Okay, so as a mental health professional in Grenada, what is it that you're seeing in your practice, in your everyday life? Is it that suicide ideation, the completion is among what kind of age group, and what are some of the things that you are recognizing could be contributing factors?
So the age group, let's say more the, it's a mix. I can't say one specific. The younger folks, more to the middle age and higher. And there can be many factors, right? There's no one specific factor. And also it's the demographics. It doesn't matter whether you're poor or rich. It's extended to everyone. And I think what might be some of the issues, I mean, persons are generally stressed, whether it be financial, whether it be community, the environment where you live. So there are many factors that can contribute, right? Loneliness, trauma some persons have had, not so good of a childhood growing up, and that compounded with other factors, meaning that maybe at that time they're going through some financial difficulty, as well as they might be relationship problems. So it's a mix, not anything specific, but I think a lot may be relationship in some areas. But it's a mix of factors. Unemployment, financial, loneliness, trauma, name it. You can name it.
Great. Thank you so much. And thank you for the work that you do as a mental health professional in Grenada. And the realities here in Jamaica are not different. You know, we may be distance and space may separate us, but guess what? We are experiencing the same kinds of challenges. And so I want to take you now from a psychological perspective to happening when a person reaches that level of despair. What is it that would have caused them to get to where they are?
So it's not one factor. So it can be something, I don't think it's something that's just impulsive and it just happens overnight. But from time, a period of time, persons may have, you know, have experienced some sort of loneliness or helplessness. There isn't any supportive relationship. They might be the person perceiving failure, relationship breakdown, financial pressures. And the combination, if not noticed by the individuals around, sometimes it becomes too much, and persons may think that that's the only way to go. So as a result, they may revert to that, but not, it's not necessary that that's the only way at the time. There are other alternatives, but oftentimes when things happen or when they reach that crisis, it means like, you know, they can't take anymore, they've had enough, and the only way they see is to.
When somebody says, can't take this anymore, and everybody would be better off without me, or there's no point. Should we take that seriously, or should we just say, Margaret is overreacting? How should we deal with statements like those when they are echoed?
Do not take it for a joke. It's serious. It doesn't matter. As simple as, I can't do this anymore, listen to the person. They're crying for your help, or at least some attention, so that they can express maybe what is affecting them. So it's not about seeking attention. Sometimes people think that because, you know, a friend, and you think they always say these things, don't ever take it for granted. It's important that when you hear those words, you stop, listen, and see how best you can support that individual.
You know, there are times when persons feel alone, they feel excluded, and it feels as if nobody knows their name. We're having a conversation with Asha Mackay Smith, a licensed clinical and community psychologist from Grenada, who is talking to us about the realities on the ground in Grenada as far as suicide prevention is concerned. And we are here, Asha. And we are moving on and asking you, tell our listeners, tell those in Jamaica and in Grenada and anywhere in the world, how can we recognize the warning signs? What are we missing?
Okay, so for suicide, there is no one or single sign that you can look for. So it's different people. And as a result, you have to know the people that are around you, know them very well, and what has changed, right? But also, there are some signs that you can look for, all right? Usually, a person may become withdrawn, They may express hopelessness or worthlessness. They may show significant changes in their mood. They may be sleeping more or sleeping less. They may become or increase their use of alcohol or substance use. They may talk repeatedly about death, right? And they begin to, you know, be distant from the families and friends. But sometimes it's not even those. The person may become, you know, calm, reserved, isolate, and not wanting to be with others. And there are those, because, for instance, a colleague of mine spoke of a pastor who actually went on the pulpit, preached, and after that, I'm not sure, I can confirm that the story was true, but he was speaking of it, and then the pastor died by suicide. So there is no one given sign that you can look for, but I think knowing the people around you and noticing the changes, the change in their behavior is important.
Let's see if we can get a little down nitty-gritty now in terms of gender and suicide. There is a saying that it is easier for men to complete suicide than women, that we talk about it, but we really don't complete it. Now, how concerned should we be about men's mental health in Grenada and Jamaica and the wider Caribbean where suicide prevention is concerned?
So yes, we are or should be concerned about our men in particular, because often I think they are taught to prepare themselves for the harsh and unforgiveness of this world that they live in. And as a result, they often suppress their fear and grief and their disappointment and uncertainty. So we should begin, I think, to ensure that our men are able to identify, you know, their emotions, be able to regulate their emotions. And I think this is an important factor. Because I even went to a forum where we asked the men to talk about how they feel, and that to them was a foreign language. They didn't know what that meant, and sometimes they are even greeted with, oh, you soft, when you talk about men talking about emotions. So it's an important factor that we really need to talk about men's mental health.
You know, it is so difficult for men to even show emotions, because emotions, as far as we are concerned in the Caribbean, depict signs of weakness, and men are taught to be strong and demonstrate strength. So it is so difficult for them to say, I'm struggling and I need help. How do we create spaces where Caribbean men can say that without feeling that their masculinity is being questioned?
And I think that begins with our parents. Our parents need to start teaching their sons to be emotionally vulnerable or emotionally literate, knowing that it's okay to recognize your emotions, talk about your emotions, regulate your emotions, communicate it, right? And even us as women, sometimes I think we don't allow our men, right, to express how they feel and to comfort them and reassure them that it's okay and it's not a sign of weakness. It's actually important to show emotions as men.
It's important to show emotions. Thank you so much. Let's turn our attention to the religious affairs component of the Grenada Ministries portfolio. Churches are enormously influential across the Caribbean. What role should churches and faith leaders play in suicide prevention?
So faith communities can be a tremendous protective resource, right? They provide belonging, meaning, relationships, practical assistance. And remember, the church is like a hospital, right? So the clergy and church leaders can also become important gatekeepers, people who recognize the warning signs, not just the pastors and the leaders in the church, but even our children should be part of that. So they are aware, you know, and they can teach it both in the church and out, right? But churches must avoid, I think that's something that we often do, we reduce mental health conditions to statements such as, you just need more faith, pray harder. And I think we have to change that way that we have.
That is so true. Would you therefore advocate mental health and suicide prevention training for pastors and other faith leaders?
Absolutely. I think it's needed, right? Because a lot of our society are in the churches. And if they recognize warning signs and they respond to disclosure, understanding the professional boundaries and knowing when and where to refer, I think we would have a greater collaboration with not just the professionals, but also our community.
All right. Thank you so much, Asha. Talk to us now. Your persons are listening both locally and in the wider Caribbean, in Jamaica. What should someone do if someone tells them that they are suicidal?
So the first thing is to take the person seriously, right? Sometimes we dismiss it when somebody says something like that. And we need to listen to them without arguing, lecturing, or immediately trying to solve everything, right? Ask them directly whether they are thinking about suicide, because there is a myth that persons sometimes think that if you say that a person don't actually do the act, but it's not so, right? If there appears to be immediate danger, do not leave the person alone. If you know that you cannot help the person, if you feel fearful and you don't think that's something you can do by yourself, seek help, whether it be professional or somebody else who is immediately in your area, right? Do not promise secrecy. You must let them know that you cannot keep it to yourself. You have to share the information because you are concerned for them, right? Also, ensure that you stay connected to them. And something that we often forget to do is to follow up, right? And if you need to refer them to the necessary persons, help them, work with them to do all of that. Because sometimes when you leave them alone, when they feel a little better, they forget about the other aspects that they need. So it's important that you work with them, hold them hand by hand, and take them to that place where they need to go.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Asha, tell our listeners, how can they get emergency service, Grenada service for suicide prevention? Tell us about the hotline.
So we do have a hotline. It's 988. And surprisingly, I just attended a forum with some children, and they were able to tell us, recite the number 988. And I think it's important that persons are aware. But also, if they're unable to get that, there is also the psychosocial support unit in the Ministry of Social Development. There isn't a hotline, but you can contact the offices when it's open, right, to seek the assistance of the counselors that are there. There's also Legal Aid and Counseling Center. Again, it's 8 to 4, so you have to call during the day. But the hotline, immediately, if you need assistance, I think you should call that number so that they can get the necessary help that they need.
We talk about the theme for 24-26 is about changing the narrative from silence to support and from despair to hope. What does changing the narrative around suicide actually look like in everyday Grenadian life?
Right. So it means we stop treating suicide as something that is shameful or that cannot be discussed. It means families need to start talking about mental health. Men should be allowed to be vulnerable. Young people know where to seek help. Churches also have to respond and do their share. Even our workplaces, our employers, they need to recognize if they want their staff to function, they also need to look after their psychological well-being. We need a collaboration of all the different entities to ensure that we have people that can have good mental health.
Thank you so much. Asha, I'm going to ask you to pray for our nation, Jamaica. Also pray for Grenada.
Okay. Lord, we thank you. You are awesome. You are great. You are worthy. You are the Most High. You are the King of all kings. And Father, only you alone we can look to for our help. Lord, at this time, as we recognize mental health and also this month of suicide in September, Lord, we pray for our Jamaican and Grenadian families, individuals who may be distressed and going through a lot of emotional unrest, oh God, that you would show up for them, oh God, through the people around, whether it be our pastors, our teachers, our nurses, our doctors. And Father, that they would get the help that they need. And Father, they would not be that statistic that is often seems to be climbing from year to year, but it would even lessen, oh God, because there is help, there is hope, and we pray that persons would seek and reach out for that hope, and not that they would be delivered, and that they would find that comfort in things that are available to them. So Father, just have thine own way, and Lord, just lift your hands and reach your hands over the whole of Grenada, the whole of Jamaica, and Lord, let your nation see you as their light and their salvation. Lord, I thank you for everything, and I ask you through your Son, Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Asha, for your conversation today. And silence isolates, conversation connects us, and support creates possibilities. And where there is connection, there is hope. Suicide prevention is not simply the responsibility of the Ministry of Health and Wellness. It belongs to all of us, families, churches, workplaces, schools, professionals, communities, and friends. Let's build a connection as we support each other in this journey of life. If you have been triggered by this conversation, call 888-639-5433. Until next time, there is hope in knowing the Lord.
Before we go, if you are in need of prayer, counseling, or further information, please call the Missionary Church Association's head office, or you can WhatsApp them at 876-791-0527. A reminder that regardless of what you encounter in life, there is hope. And there is power in prayer. Hebrews 11 verse 6 reminds us that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And so we encourage you to pray by yourself or join with a family member or a friend. And let us pray, being mindful that God answers prayers. Do join us next week.